Hola! Welcome into episode 134 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise and today I've got a blether with Game On, I've got lots of crack, swap section, me section and a shoppy section. I sponsor this from my own crafty business at www.etsy.com/shop/CaithnessCraft. Any links are with the show notes, so get your cup of tea or your dram, and I'll let you know what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the blether.
The blether. Game on. Hello, hola to you listeners. After this summer's rather thin on the ground Caithness Craft Collective podcast episodes. I'm writing this on the very day that the bairns go back to school after 6 weeks off. The first four, it rained. Fair bit. And whilst we did get out and about to say and recorded in the last two episodes. Oh, and if you thought I sounded a bit manic, it was because of two reasons. One, I was off script. I'm not very good with off script because I can't think and speak at the same time very well. Some of you will notice this. I'm a ponderer of everything. If you want sense out of me, that is. And the second was because I was expecting to be interrupted at every second of each of them. And I wanted to get something recorded. So listeners, I hope you managed to listen all at half speed. Also, my apologies for poor and if any show notes at all. Back to normal now. And the routine! Hooray! Whilst we had these wet days, I didn't manage to teach them both to knit and sew and cook and be good little children. Stuff that. Rather, we had games of let's hide Sandy's packed lunchbox from the second last day of school in the bottom of his wardrobe with a banana still in it. And a few hundred card games of various types. We played Kerplunk. We played darts. We played rat-a-tat-tat. We played spot it. The last two having been sent to us by the very lovely Mel of With Mel Video Cast. More on her later in the episode. I know that you are going to want to listen very carefully to that bit. And I learned how to play Joker. I was trying to teach the bairns how to be good losers and gracious winners, as both of them are neither right now. I learned that Sandy has a good poker face and Daisy pretty much tells you what she has by, ooh, goody, or ooh, stinky card. I have been reading Game of Thrones whilst sitting by the swimming pool and on the beach in Gran Canaria when we were away on holiday. It was grand to be away with the family and a good time was had, but no crafty shops whatsoever. And whilst I had my dishcloth to knit on, I was, well, constantly covered in sun cream or eating. So I decided that I would use the time to read. I've seen the first two series, possibly three, I can't quite forget out yet, and this is not for children. The book and the series. This podcast is for children if you need them to be listening. Hello children, how are you today? Yes, you're listening to the boring woman from Scotland again. Haha, lucky you. The same goes for you, all the rest of you men at the back. Or ladies, if the men are listening and making the ladies listen. We shall not be gender specific. The books of Game of Thrones are pretty good. Pretty well written and almost the same as the TV series. So I have been devouring them. I have moved to Westeros. And I'm nailing my stark colours to the wall. It actually explains things better in the books too, because those with the extra houses and the kings, it's a bit like, well, this is Doran, son of Dorian, who was king under the mountain. Oh, sorry, wrong Game of Thrones. And I've been torn between wanting to look up on the computer who gets killed, because basically everybody gets killed. Yeah. Well, loads and loads and loads of them do. He's not shy of killing off his main characters. And I did once see a photograph of somebody had put a wee post-it note on the edge of the book where a character was killed and had all the books that he had written. This is George R.R. Martin, who's the author of them. And, oh my goodness, this thing is like a squared-off porcupine and hedgehog altogether. We played a game on holiday of Count the Beards. The trend of amongst the young men, listen to me, young men, well, the younger than me men, on Gran Canaria, they all seemed to have short beards and looked a bit hipster, kind of Hollywoodian or Grecian 2000 George Clooney's. And I think that Electric Sheep beard section would have been based in Gran Canaria alone for at least 6 episodes. There was lots of pretty young men, it has to be said. And we also played people watching quite a bit at the airports, on the beach, and I had a scary thought of, see all these people just now, I'm never going to see any of them ever again. I wonder where they go. There are the Hunger Games, the Commonwealth Games, the Game of Life, to name a few. Some slightly more bloodthirsty than others. Well, have you ever played a board game with my niece? No, I don't think you have. Don't fall for her big blue eyes. She shows no mercy at all. Games take out our survival and competitive spirit. Some it shows well and others, maybe not so much. I have got a great poker face, but I don't have that competitive edge as when I'm in a race. I'm that used to people being faster than me. I kind of step to the side and let them pass, even if they aren't faster than me. I don't like pain, so that's what the crutch of the matter is. On Saturday, we went to the Helmsdale Highland Games. There was pipers piping, men chucking heavy things, cyclists cycling, runners hill and track running, and tugs being bored about. I saw my cousins and my aunties and my uncle, and I ate my fill of Cornishan chicken sandwiches and learned that a Mackay family that I know very well from Thurso are actually from my own clan Mackay. So we had a game of, hey cousin, when I saw the game on Monday. So that was quite an interesting thing. Somebody that you know from a different life, as in running and swimming and cook soul, as their children are about the same ages as ours, turns out to be related to me. And on to crafty games. Do you all play Yarn Chicken then? You do, don't you? I can see you're all nodding going, I hate Yarn Chicken. Well, I was playing it recently and I lost. Some of you might not know what actually I'm referring to. It's when you say you have 10 yards of yarn left to knit a couple of rows or cast off, and you watch the end of what seemed like a never ever ending ball of yarn when you were halfway through the pattern, and it comes closer and closer, and then when you don't expect it, it's in your rabbit hand and you think, ooh! And then someone puts a post-it note in your page. Exit stage left your sanity for about 10 minutes. Sometimes this can be solved by taking back a row and then casting off. Sometimes you have to replace the last couple of rows with other yarns, or sometimes you thread the last of the yarn through the last 10 stitches of the cast off and sew an end in whether it likes it or not. Sheila and Shaw. Mine. What? Hold on, I'll do a good chicken impression here. It's not very good, is it? Richard is a good one. Hands up who has recently played the game of Let Not Swatch for that jumper I'm knitting on. I have to admit it isn't me, but I know some of you have. For the past 2 jumpers I did indeed swatch, and then I changed my needles accordingly and swatched again. I think if you're going to do all that knitting, you might as well get it as right you can the first time. I admit to the I don't wash the swatch game, because, oh hey, who doesn't want to play Will This Owl's Jumper Grow 2 inches in the Arms When I Get It Wet jump game? Because that is what the best game ever. Honest it is. And you think Rat Attack Cat is serious stuff. Well, it's got nothing on putting the jumper in the soak. It didn't, thankfully. And on to putting the beads onto a plate and betting that they all stay there and not get knocked over by a child or a puppy or yourself when you get a fright from the phone unexpectedly ringing or your podcaster doing chicken impressions and making you giggle or get a fright. Oh yes, I love that game of pick up the thousands of little suckers. Mm-hmm. Yep. As for unravel the spaghetti every time I wind a skein of yarn game, oh, be still, my adrenaline junkie craving heart. That's up there with the guess where I've now hidden that piece of lace I hand-dyed for that bag I was making at Text Alert this last year game. Mm-hmm. I won that one, I remember. After a while. I had to play the tidying up game. We have a coat roll. The game of when I'm hand-dyeing to see if the one tiny EDPD, all it takes is one single grain of a different colour of dye will touch this beautifully dyed bit that I'm working on that I'm actually quite pleased with, but no, the game is lost. There it is, right in the middle. Yep. The game of when I'm cutting material and trying to get as many pieces out of the metre as possible game, like that one. I measured it at least 40 times, I cut once, and then the cut of no return is made. And sometimes, not all the time, I realised the fact that the ruler was upside down and I cut it wrong at the end. Even though on my ruler I have got a piece of washi tape, love washi tape, send me all your washi tape, someone will message, does actually say top of ruler so that I don't do this mistake anymore. Mm-hmm. Games are there to teach you about things. Patience, strategy, counting, humility, gracious in winning, and gracious in defeat. They teach you about yourself, if you care to listen, and also about others, if you care to watch. So if you're playing a master's game of Spot It or Bananagram, or a casual game of chess or yarn chicken, put your poker face on, Lady Gaga. If you need a pee, stop and go, because it's time for the Daisy and Sandy giggle.
Hello
section. Sounds a bit Heather Ord over that, isn't it? Every time I hear somebody say hello, I just think, oh, it's Heather. Who else is enjoying Sense and Sensibility? Yep, me. Sandy, hello to new to me, been with me for a while and been with me forever listeners. I very much appreciate you tuning in and I hope that you're enjoying yourself. A Sandy hello to new group members, Mamie073, Auntie Fiona, Defarge66, Molly's Makes and Tilly Trout. I got a nice message from Molly's Makes today I must reply to. Random hellos are to Jamie and Steve, who are continuing to be in my thoughts. Bobby, not heard from you for a while. I was thinking about sending you a message, but I'm just going to say hello to you just now. Who else can I say hello to? Crazy Knitting Fool, who has got Crazy Knitter Studio podcast just about started. She's 2 episodes in, so please do go over and find her. Wallumby Dreamer, Crafty Womble, Natalie Servant, and Gold Threads. Hello, everybody. We also have a buchel.
What's a crack, section?
What's a crack? Many, many congratulations to all the Knitmores on the birth of baby Rex, or Dudski, as they've been calling him. I'm very pleased for you and I hope everything is well, and I can only wish you as much sleep as a little baby will give you. I was really fortunate last week to have some visitors from Skokie, Illinois, of the USA. I had the very kind and generous and just amazing Spajo, who's Sherry, and her family drop on their way to Orkney on their big Scottish holiday. Her family are really, really lovely and put up with her and I talking like there was no tomorrow, and she kind of gave the bairns a t-shirt and mum some coffee. And she said, what do I want yarn wise? I said, I don't need any more yarn. Just want yourself for company. So that was brilliant. She was very kind to give the bairns t-shirts. Or both bairns have already worn the t-shirt. And mum has actually started drinking the coffee. So result all around. I made Sherry choose a project bag from the shop. And she's now away with a McLean tartan project bag. And then I made her take my tartan handbag. It sounds awful. I mean, it's kind of like, here I'm wearing this shawl, here's the shawl. But for the handbag, I basically tipped all the stuff at the handbag and checked to see that there was no ink marks on the inside or on the outside. It looked quite okay, so I didn't feel too bad. Had wanted to make her one, but that week I was hit with a bit of flu. And I blamed the people on the air conditioning of my aeroplane holidays, because then I hadn't enough energy or concentration to sew. So Well, I barely got the house clean enough. She could only go in certain rooms. Anyway, over that now. And it gives me a reason to sew a new bag. And I've actually seen a messenger bag made of squares of tartan, which was at the Helmsdale Games, that I fancy trying out. However, Sherry and her family were such lovely company, and I was so delighted to meet them. Haste you back. I can't wait to see you again. And I'd heard on Twinset Design's Fun Fur section that Instagram now speaks to Ravelry. And also, you can look at Instagram on your computer, so that's quite good. And it does it very, very nicely. Thank you very much, Ravelry team, yet again. When you're next adding your project pictures, go onto your laptop and there's a wee tab for Instagram photos in Ravelry, which you need to connect to by logging into Instagram once. And then it gives you all your Instagram photographs, which you can click once with the mouse to add it, rather than dragging and dropping like I was trying to do with Flickr. So hooray for Ellen and Ravelry. I got a message from Pipney Jane to say that she had very much enjoyed visiting the Great Scottish Tapestry, which is currently exhibiting, I can never say that word, in Kirkcaldy in Fife from the 20th of June to the 20th of September. And as today is the 19th of August, you still have a month to go. They're open, I think it's 7 days, it's free entry, and it's at Kirkcaldy Gallery's War Memorial Gardens. Which, basically, half an hour on the train from Edinburgh, if you fancied a bit of a day out to Fife. Plenty to do in Kirkcaldy. And in the new year, the Great Scottish Tapestry, part of it, is heading to Inverness. And I would expect it to be the ones that are relevant to the area. Sadly, they don't have quite enough space in the Inverness Art Museum, which is just down from the castle in Inverness, to show the entire tapestry exhibition, but there should be even just one, perfectly honest, will keep you in trance for at least half an hour. And the entire tapestry, there's about 200. So you'll need to go and look at panel 96, the Caithness Schoolroom.
The swap section.
Swap. This is the closeout message for the Terry Pratchett swap. You know, I had stopped the swaps because of feeling like a policeman and people's swaps were going missing and then I was having to chase people and I really didn't like it. But this swap, I very much enjoyed it. Everyone sent what needed to be sent and everyone received what needed to be received. It was all beautifully wrapped. Probably not as much. Mine wasn't all as beautifully wrapped. I did try. But they were all thoughtful packages. And I've not had to chase anyone. So you're really wonderful swap partner dudes and dudettes. There were some beautiful items sent. Now Kirsty, who was my swap partner, outdid herself. And I thank you very, very much. She even put little blue feet prints all over the label of the postbox for the Knack McFeagles. Oh, fantastic. Her handmade item was a shawl. The pattern that Kirsty used was called The Turtle's Journey by Heather Anderson, and you can get this for, I think it's about $4 up until the 30th of August, then it goes back up to $7, and she's doing a knit along with it as well in September. It's a crescent shaped shawl, and the first part of it is a sort of honeycomb type of textured stitch, which is quite interesting. And then the next part is where the turtles are, and Kirsty has used a purple bit for the start, then a cream part where the turtles are. You can really see them stand out, which is brilliant. And then she's got an applied edge. Oh, and it's a slight lace pattern, which I quite like. But she said she'd never done applied lace before, so I think that's excellent. She's learned something new, and she's made me something so spectacular that goes with my purple top. My LL Bean purple top that I'm never not wearing. I have it on just now. It has been washed quite a lot. Don't worry, I'm not that smelly. But this is just amazing, this purple and cream shawl. I actually think it's wonderful the fact that it's got the turtles in the cream, because I think that they stand out better than they would have in the purple, because the purple's slightly variegated, and sometimes when you've got variegated yarn, any pattern tends to sort of disappear especially if it's a knitted pattern like that. I can't wait to wear the shawl out into the wild and see if anybody says the turtle moves, because that's what you see. There's one of the books that actually says that the turtle moves. Also with some beef jerky, guess who got that? It's already been eaten. I never even got a look in. Some chocolate, which he seems to have taken as well, and a jigsaw of Fredericksburg, Virginia historic stuff. There's a book on Fredericksburg Battle, and then there's a book on the National Parks of America, which is very interesting. And in the back of this, I don't know if you guys know a bit more about it than I do, it includes a coin collector for 56 of the beautiful quarters. And America the beautiful. And what I assume is you get a quarter punched, or you buy it from the shop from all these places in America, like of the national parks. See, we've got North Dakota, Theodore Roosevelt National Park, and then Michigan Pictured Rocks National Lakeshore. And they've all got numbers and wee spaces for the quarters. If any of you felt really generous and you lived nearby one of them, you fancy sending me one, that would be nice. I could send you a penny back. I could send you something, a postcard from Scotland or something. If you feel like you wanted to do that, that would be cool. My bairns would like that. It's a really cool book. So the bairns are delighted with all the stuff they got. And it says, the deepest rock layer in the Grand Canyon is 1.8 billion years old, slightly older than me. 1,122 inches of snow fell in one season on Mount Rainier in 1971 to 1972. That's a lot of snow. So she didn't just send me arty crafty stuff. She sent me knowledge too. Oh, Mum got a tea towel. Thank you very much for that. And there was some lovely yarn from her local dyer, Kismet Fibre Works. And it's in the Abundant, which is a worsted purple. And it's wonderful because I don't have a lot of worsted weight. And I do have a couple of patterns in my library that call for worsted. So I've currently earmarked the Cloche Divine pattern hat by Megan Jones for this. So the Alzheimer's, I always say Alzheimer's wrong, sorry. It was a fundraising part of it from her was a Rose of Sharon block book for quilting, pattern book. Something for everyone, and I can't thank you enough, Christy. And myself, I forgot to actually tell her because they sent it and it was in a bit of a rush, so getting organised for going on holiday. But I donated straight to the Alzheimer's Scotland because I wanted to buy something for Kirsty, but she doesn't quilt and there was no point in ordering her the quilting book. So what I've done is I've bought that and donated to them at the same time in Kirsty's name. So I can tell you what I sent her, but I'm going to do it in the me section. Hooray! No more Fight Club crafting.
Coming up, it's there.
Right, coming up. I put this in the coming up section as opposed to the review section because technically it's not out yet. And this is a brand new magazine by Mel with Mel video cast. She's been working really hard to bring us a new online magazine, and as the title suggests, Six Bits Creates the Sum. I'm actually on the website reading straight from what she says. So you've got 1, designs, 2, imagery, 3, location, 4, words, 5, learning, and 6, tools. And every bit of the publication supports the other parts, just as each contributor supports the other. So there's going to not just be just about patterns. There is going to be patterns, but there's going to be some beautiful photography. There is going to be information on the locations, so you may never have visited these places, or you might just rediscover your own backyard. There's the words, where you take a deeper look at the process and resources, and you can also look into substituting locally the yarn for the patterns that are in that. For instance, say Mel designs something in Quince and Company and it's not as easy for me or as cheap as it is for American listeners to get as it is for me to get something from New Lanark. So there's learning. The six bits includes the techniques, tips, as well as heartfelt exploration of the many elements at play within the collection. And then the tools part is going to explore different needles, notions, fibre, yarn, and a host of other tools, old and new. Now, I know how well photographed things are in the Land of Mel because she herself has a really good eye and she uses a photographer to finish things off properly. So her art of everything is just stupendous. And this is going to be a subscription magazine, and there's going to be one in October, January, April, and July so far. So she's going to have Unearth in October, Dwell in January, Reflect in April, and Return in July. You will get a download code so you can get your six patterns, will that be added to your Ravelry library? You'll benefit from the discounted pattern prices. You will be able to purchase individual collections during the limited time releases. Both subscriptions and collection include all the bits that create the storybook, images, substitution information, articles, tips, techniques, and more. And you can select individual patterns will be available, but not include all these added bits to enjoy. So you can buy that for $46 for a yearly subscription, which is actually quite cheap, really. So that's your With Mel 6-Bit magazine, and I'll put the link in the show notes, but it is her blog, which is www.withmail.com.wordpress.com, and that's where you'll be able to get it from. And if you're in my group, just any time, you'll probably see the advert come up with a bulleted banner, and just click through there. Cast your clout. Bless you. There's a phrase in Scotland saying, "Dinna cast your clout till mate is out," which translates ish to, "Don't take off your clothes or cloths until the end of May has passed you, because it can be cold up until June." I got the random number generator to spit out a winner, and it chose Mindful William of Boise, Idaho. His prize shall be winging its way over to the Atlantic very soon. There were some lovely clouts on the thread by yourselves, and I loved them all. My apologies to CVD Avatrix, who had been madly knitting to the deadline of the 19th of August, and then I went and stopped it on the 18th, and that was completely my mistake. When I set the prize thread, I put down the 19th, thinking it was the Tuesday that the bairns went back to school, as it's always about that date. False. But I didn't double check it then, and I didn't double check it when I organised this stopping yesterday. So I'm really sorry, that was my mistake. And that's where the confusion was. Now, she, CVD Avatrix, had made a lovely white Chinese waves pattern. Ella, Giffnock girl, who was very, very kind and generous and let us stay at her house before we went on holiday, and we had a lovely night of drinking whiskey. Oh, Auntie, my head still hurts thinking. And we went round Wrykyn Glen, which is a wonderful place, brilliant. The bairns just absolutely adored it. So it was a really, really nice evening, and oh no, Bickle wants to play. No, I'm recording now, shut up. So hello, Ella and Andy. When she showed me that she had made them pattern up, yeah, as you do. Julia had made a sink mate, which I really like the name and the end product of. It was very good. The lovely timber flute has tried out a new technique on hers. And she tried double knitting, and I think it turned out marvellously. Helen has made a granny square and was using up odds and ends of colours in the previous ones mentioned a few episodes back, but they're still in the thread. So do carry on dishclothing or clouting. And before I forget, there is a photograph of Twinsit Jan in the swimming pool knitting on a dishcloth. Both the ball of yarn and the knitting and Jan are in the pool. In the pool. Not just held up above the pool being kept dry, but in the pool. And she discusses that on the latest episode. I wish I could have done that on my holiday now. Something for you to all try next time you are in for a dip. I'd just like to see this one in Thurso swimming pool.
The beaker section.
Me section. No more Secret Santa crafting or Fight Club crafting. Hooray! I can tell you what I made for the Terry Pratchett swap. I made a long thin cowl using the technique of broomstick crochet, which to fit the witches theme, because witches use broomsticks. I used just over half a cake of yarn, which was one of the golden skein stash that I had made one of these last year of the Infinity and Beyond pattern by Heidi Neeling, and the yarn was Sparkle Duck and its fingering weight Pulsar, wool and silk blend in blues and greens of And Then the Clouds Began to Break. I had used a lightsaber for my broomstick crochet the last time, but this time I had used a Black and Decker plastic hammer, which was way lighter and shorter and easier to handle. The rules were, said by me, of a handmade which took 3 to 4 hours to make. Now this took quite a bit longer, but I didn't mind at all, and I'm quite sure that her handmade took way longer than that. It does grow quite quickly, but it's not a technique that I felt was wise to spend more than 45 minutes at a time doing, because it can be awkward holding the hammer broomstick. Now, you're all doing the MC Hammer dance, aren't you? Can't touch this. No, you can't. And I'm glad that I started it in plenty of time. You can't touch this. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. I didn't quite play Yarn Chicken game, but I did use up nearly all the yarn, which was wonderful. Can't touch this. There's a link on the pattern, which is free, by the way, to a tutorial to how to do the broomstick crochet technique if you fancy trying it. And it really does give a beautiful beautiful stitch. Can't touch this. Hammer time! I also made a tea cosy with a Highland coup design. Now, it's got nothing to do with Terry Pratchett, but Christy had expressed her love of all things Scottish, and if I couldn't send her a real Highland coup, I could send her a tea cosy one. She had said that she had needed a tea cosy, and I hope it's big enough for your teapot, Kirsty. I measured it against my own two-pot pot, and Richard did actually suggest I posted you our teapot, but I just thought, I don't know how I would feel about somebody sending me a second-hand teapot. So I didn't. Maybe if it had something that was Terry Pratchett related on, but it's not. It says fat cat on one side. Just thought. She'd said she. This little coup design was from the workshop that we did by Elsline at the John O'Groat retreat in May. And plus, I copied it from Bev, who had drawn a Highland coup first, and I thought, what a good idea. So, Bev, it's your idea. I put on some brawny, bright orange material, and I followed the tutorial in a book that I talked about 2 episodes back to do with textile artists, but I can't find the name of it. So, I firstly drew the design using permanent ink pens onto a small piece of cream fabric. We then sprayed rubbing alcohol on it, and it bled very nicely. And then it has to be washed before you can put the pens back on it again. Otherwise, the rubbing alcohol upsets the permanent paints. Then I went back over the design and then added a bit of a darker detail in dark browns and blacks. And then I ironed interfacing to the back of the piece of fabric. And then I got the tea cosy material sorted and wadded in. And I put it together. I ran some straight stitches down to quilt it. And then I put on the Highland coup design and freestyle machine embroidered the fur out of that Highland coup. It adheres onto the tea cosy very nicely and worked out quite well. I then followed the instructions on how to put the tea cosy together, along with a wee gold tag at the top to pull off the said teapot, which is grand to look at, but do you know, trying to work out how you sew it on, as most of this you do inside out, and then there was piping and edging and lining and stuff. Now, I've never done piping before, but it was pretty straightforward in the end. And it's a good way to use up string or thick yarn you don't need if you don't have the proper piping stuff, which I didn't. The lining caused me bother, because even though I'd read the instructions properly and 3 or 4 times, it didn't actually say to put on extra at the bottom. It says to make it slightly smaller round the sides. Well, it doesn't actually say round the sides, but it means round the sides. But because I was folding it up, I needed it extra at the bottom. I'd sewn it all together, tried it on the teapot, and it was too small. So I had to unpack it all and add more material. Christy, you are looking inside that bad boy now, aren't you? Well, you can see how there's a seam in the inside of the lining. Well, that's why it's there. I had to redo it. I seriously hope she's got a small teapot. I then put it on Instagram, as I don't think Christy is on Instagram and wouldn't see it and spoil it. And you all went mad for it. So I want to make a few more of these for the shop. I managed to buy a new set of Sharpies when I was in Oban's WH Smith because they were doing them for £6 or something quite good if you bought some stationery as well. And who didn't love stationery? Not me, sir. I love stationery. As do the children who got extra stuff for school. Now, I just need to get a spray bottle sorted as whilst I can find empty bottles, I can't find a new spray bottle in the shops, and none of my bottles of stuff in the house are empty enough to tip out and reuse yet. Maybe I should clean the windows, not for the want of cleaning windows, but for the want of the empty spray bottle to use for the rubbing alcohol, which you can drop her on or flick out, it'll be fine. Now, slightly relevantly, you know that you can buy rubbing alcohol in the supermarket in Gran Canaria, Pantoffels. I should have got some and then rattled up some coups there because I actually had my pens with me. It's my new thing, drawing. Daisy has finally got a wiggly tooth. I thought it might be nice to make her a wee envelope to put her teeth in for the tooth fairy. Last year at Textiles, we kind of inherited bags and bags worth of material, some of which was really useful and some of which is a bit, what in the name of Quattro's tail will I use that for? I have my share of it, and I had a piece of silky polyester type, and it was about 10 by 10 inches square, and on it there was printed some pretty butterfly patterns. I've had this pinned to my notice board for quite some time, pondering over what it wanted to be. Yes, my crafty material has to want to be something, or it just won't sit right in the final product. Because it's alive, you know. So, about the second day of holidays, I was awoken at 6 a.m. by an excited Daisy saying that her bottom tooth was wobbly. She's nearly 7 and it's quite a while in coming, so the poor wee thing had started to get a bit upset when it was mentioned. So thankfully she must have kissed some boy. Do you say that everywhere else? Because that's what we see in Scotland when you've got a bairn's got a wiggly tooth. Have you been kissing the boys? Or have you been kissing the girls? To which point the child always explodes with, yeah! Just you wait. So 6 weeks later, it's still coming along with its pal beside it now being wobbly too, but it's not out yet. One day near the start of the holidays, I'd managed to get rid of the bairns for a while and I wanted to make a wee pillow thing to put under her pillow for the tooth fairy. I've not actually given it to her yet. I have a pattern for a monster with a wee pocket in it for Sandy, but this piece of material was calling to me by now. It's not that Daisy doesn't like monsters, but she'd already expressed an interest in this piece of material. I thought, of course, my little darling. So I hummed and hawed about how to make a purse thingy, but so what I did was I ironed on some interfacing carefully, because this was pretty material, and it would probably melt if I heated it too high, knowing my luck. And then I got some wadding, and I freestyle machine embroidered around the butterflies to make them sort of stick up a bit. I then folded it into a purse shape, hiding all the raw edges, going inside out and sewing back in over itself. And there it was. Ta-da! Go look on Instagram because it's on there. One tooth fairy envelope. Not very well described. She just needs to lose the teeth now. And the going rate is £2 a tooth, in case you haven't had the tooth fairy come visit for you and you were wondering. Also for Daisy, I made a pillowcase nightdress from the blog I found via Pinterest, which is icandyhandmade.blogspot.com. This is where you get a pillowcase and you open up the closed end and you serge or zigzag the edge of it and then you hide it with stretch lace, or in my case elastic, and then normal wide lace. Then you put on some lace for the shoulder straps. My pillowcases have all got the flap at the end where when you put your pillow into the pillowcase and it gets put on this extra fold of material. I hate touching the pillows because, well, most of mine are synthetic material and they kind of scratch against my dry skin hands. but this piece of flappy material covers it over and keeps it all nice. But there was this extra flap of material and it needed sewing down, otherwise Daisy, every time she put the dress on, she'd put her foot in it. So I sort of sewed it down with a running stitch and matching thread. The whole dress thing doesn't take very long when you know what you're doing, but I do suggest you have a small child near to fit against a lot as well. It's all in the fit. Each and every time it's in the fit. F1T. That is the secret to dressmaking, however costume or rough it is. I managed to burn quite a lot of calories that day because Daisy was downstairs watching a film and I was upstairs sewing, and I kept going to her as well because, well, if she comes upstairs to my crafty part, she gets distracted easily and starts emptying things. I am utterly ashamed of my craft room just now. Utterly ashamed. But that's a different story. Oh, look, seagulls. I did end up with a very pretty nightie for her, but she said that the lace was scratchy under her armpit because it's lace and it needs washed. But I made it, she wears it, and she likes it. I think I told you, but I can't remember now, about the slouch tartan bag I made for Swedish Karen that I made at the start, just before the summer holidays started. She was moving back to Sweden with her family and she started her new job yesterday. She's a teacher and the bairns started school as well. So we miss them, but wish them all the best. And when I have coffee on Fridays at John O'Groats, I will miss her. We keep joking that we were going to Skype her in. Give the children a Scottish lesson. But I made a slouch bag with a brown tartan, and I'm going to say it looked very like Fraser tartan. And she quite liked Outlander, so it worked quite well. And I had paired it with a rust-coloured velvet. At the knitting, not been an awful lot. I made a dishcloth, and this was a weave pattern, which was four rows of knit stitch, then four stitches of knit, four of purl along the row, and then you finish with four rows of garter, which I actually didn't because this is where I didn't lay yarn chicken properly. Yeah, this was this. But it doesn't matter because it was for me. I've not even woven the ends in. It's shocking. But it's another dishcloth to replace my ones that were wearing out. And it, tell you what, the sugar and cream cotton bleeds quite a bit. I'm marching on really well with the Brandywine's Fall Shoulder Wrap, which is from the very talented and lovely Robin Ulrich. I'm using a Knit Picks interchangeable size 4.5mm nice, sharp, pointy needle tips. You need them because you're doing manipulation and quite a lot of yarn over and slips up knits and stuff. The yarn is Colonnade Art in a mint julep colour, and I'm nearly at the decreasing part, but don't recommend watching Sherlock whilst doing it because I missed out a yarn over in each pattern section of the entire last row, so I had to take it back. However, it's all sorted and beyond and I'm quite enjoying it. I'm doing the smallest size because I wasn't sure if I'd have enough to do the bigger ones, and I yesterday joined the second ball. I probably would now, but I didn't fancy another game of yarn chicken with this yarn because it told me that it wanted to be that, and I'm not going to refuse it. I am really itching to knit other things though. I want to do a swatch for the Owligan by Kate Davies. Did everybody see Kate Davies' wedding photographs? Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I'm going to use the Lopi yarn. Did I tell you that it cost me import VAT in getting it sent from Iceland? Richard was livid. I was quite pooped, but never mind. This cardigan will be wonderful. I just need to get the needle points onto cables and start swatching. Again, with that amount of knitting, I don't want to play that game. Actually, I reckon for things that I have to fit into, then a little time spent beforehand is worth paying for. What's it they say? Time spent in reconnaissance is seldom wasted. As I've given Sherry my handbag, I feel like I'm going to have to make another one. As I said, I'm going to use the tartan squares that Angela from Scotch Tweed gave us on the knitting retreat back in May. I wasn't sure what I was going to do because they were all slightly too small to make a project bag out of. And when I saw this bag at the Helmsdale Games, I thought, ta and da, and that is exactly it. Ta-da! I was chucking it with rain, but honestly, it was like a little sunbeam went down to this bag, and I just went, Daisy, stand there, I'm going to take a photo. I was taking a picture of Daisy at all, I was taking a picture of a handbag. Oh, and I saw Edwin Collins there as well. Him of Never Loved a Girl Like You Before. Because he lives up the Strath at Helmsdale, and he always goes and is a guest of honour at the games. And he was actually looking really well and walking around quite the thing when I saw him. So hopefully he wasn't too tired out, because I know he doesn't keep great health. But there's a photograph on my Instagram feed and Twitter feed and Facebook feed. And Richard was doing the hill race, as was a couple of the other Harriers. Now, I was standing a little bit down from the start so I could take some photographs of them. And Edwin Collins wanders down in front of me. So I wasn't really sure it was him. And then I asked my uncle, is that Edwin Collins? He says, yes. And I was like joking on that he'd photobombed me. Whereas he just kind of just wandered down. But there was, I saw him later on and I thought, I don't really do that kind of thing. Like, oh, are you so-and-so? Oh, I love your stuff. Because I've done that once and I was totally embarrassed. So I just tweeted him and said, I think I was photobombed by Edwin Collins. And everybody's like, oh, you were stalking him. I wasn't. I was genuinely there taking photographs of of my husband running the hill race. But it was really quite cool. It's a lovely little Highland Games. And the books I'm reading, I'm on Terry Pratchett Guards, and I'm going to have to get the next four in the series now. I'm still reading The Sorcery to Sandy, very much enjoying it. And also the aforementioned Game of Thrones, and I'm on book three.
Shoppy section.
There's loads in the shop, nobody's been buying anything. So there's McLean, minus one, but there are still a few left. Gordon, Farquharson, Robertson, Ancient Macmillan, Ancient Fraser and Weathered Fraser from Outlander. If you feel you would like to contribute to my continued running of the podcast, and therefore you sponsor the podcast, but you get stuff as back, then back as well, please go visit www.etsy.com/shop/cadenascraft.
Blah 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 blah
blah blah section. Wow, I've been talking for a while. I just have to speed up because the Burns are due back from school soon. Thank you very much for listening. I appreciate you taking the time to download this and listen to me. My email is katenscraftcollective@gmail.com. I'm on Ravelry as Louise Hunt. Etsy, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook as katenscraft. You can access the Flickr photographs from LouiseG2010. Podbean site at www.katenscraftcollective.podbean.com. The photos are on the right hand side, and that is where the podcast is hosted from. Thank you for listening. Keep on grounding.